Welcome back to the podcast that makes you faster. In this episode, I had the pleasure to talk with Jason West about his experiences in T100 races, about aerodynamics, recovery strategies, and the preparation for the big dance in Dubai. Enjoy some really cool stories and pro insights.
You were just visited by doping testers for a drug test out of competition. What is a good thing, but makes a stressful morning for you. So first of all, thank you very much for taking some time.
Yeah, definitely. Thanks a lot. It's when the doorbell rings and the dogs go crazy and you're in bed, it's kind of like, oh gosh, what's going on? But it's pretty typical. And
do I catch you before the first training session today?
Yeah, I haven't done anything today, so it's still 8 in the morning, and I'm not a super early riser or anything. I usually get up around 7, so still a whole day ahead.
How long was your recovery period after T100 Las Vegas? Did you do any gambling after the race?
Yeah, I was. I flew back the next morning pretty early. In the race, you know, we race pretty late a lot of the time at the T100 races. So, by the time I got back to the hotel, it was like 8 o'clock. And we didn't really get out to do much. I had I was coming in with some injuries and things that it was more a priority to take care of my body and make sure it's okay and that it doesn't, you know, pull up in a bad way. So, it was all business, that's for sure. And got home the next morning, and then it took me definitely a while. Didn't feel pretty good until like Friday or something, so nearly a week till I was not feeling like garbage. So
okay.
but that's pretty typical. I mean, it's like sometimes you can get back to a little bit more training earlier, but you kind of just do the easy volume the next week, and just back into the full swing of it this week.
Okay. Yeah, I can only imagine that it's like super tough after all of this races and the long season. Now you have to get back and keep motivation high for the big dance in Dubai, which is not too far away. Mm-hmm. And I think it's like the most brutal thing in triathlon to do T100s.
Yeah. They're definitely like every time I do one, I'm just like, man, these races are so hard. Also with like, you know, we race 20 meters. So the bike is always crazy honest, and you go into the run feeling really, really bad. And every time I do them, it's a world-class field, and the race is super hard. And definitely been interesting that now that's the norm, whereas we're used to maybe racing a couple of those races a year at that level. And then some of the other domestic races, it's like, you know, there's a lot of parts of the race that are not full gas or you know, you're kind of just fine-tuning things. But now it's like every time you go out there, it's just balls to the wall. And it's been a change, but it's been fun.
Let's maybe move on with a question about aerodynamics, as we are the podcast, or we always say in the beginning that we are the podcast that makes you faster. Could you walk us through a little bit how you approach optimizing aerodynamics in your own setup, like your position, gear choices, and how this plays a role in your overall race strategy?
Yeah, I think it's always this balance between being as aerodynamic as possible, but also being comfortable and feeling strong on the bike. Because if you're in a super aero position, but you don't feel like you're stable on the saddle, things like that, you're going to be moving around a lot. You're not actually going to hold that aerodynamic position. So we did some testing in May, trying to dial things in a little bit better. And then it's like, okay, in the wind tunnel, it always feels super comfortable, right? And then you get out on the roads and you're racing, and it's like, okay, let's make these little tweaks. And then let's see what the real world data is looking like afterwards. And like in Vegas, a lot of the flats where I was riding at under a 0.19 CDA. Which is quite good in race setup, and you've got your water bottles and like all the different things. So to hit like a real world scenario where you're seeing the numbers be that low, is really encouraging, and it's like, okay, we're really doing some good things. And so, yeah, I think you start probably with the front end. I mean, that's the first thing the air touches, right? So it's optimizing the front end, optimizing where your arms are, your head is, things like that. And then it's a pretty crazy thing, aerodynamics. Like, you can go down that hole and it's wild. Like, the number of things, like, I didn't realize how important fabrics can be. Whereas that's what one of the biggest areas of gains you really could make is the fabric of your suit, because that's where air is kind of like the one area where the air is actually attached to your body and flowing is probably like your back, right? And how that interacts. So it's that fabric's super important. And
yeah,
and then you have gear choices, and it's like, it's crazy.
Yeah, it's really crazy. But the most important things are still position on the bike, like a perfect bike fitting, like set up with good wheels, aerodynamic wheels, a good suit, a good helmet.
Yeah, and I think it's also a balance too of like getting the most out of something, but it being maybe like easy. Like, if you can find the most aerodynamic helmet for you, that's really easy, because it does, like, one helmet to another from a rider's perspective is not going to feel much different. But then there's little things, like if you find one fabric is only a couple watts faster, but it's drastically, you know, hotter than a different fabric, or it doesn't breathe as well. I mean, if you're going to a lot of hot races, if you're going to Kona, a lot of the T100 races are in the middle of the day, so they're really hot. So how does that factor into like your race plan, where maybe you give up some to gain some elsewhere? So I always think, like, where can we get the biggest gains without it really affecting like any of that other race strategy, cooling or anything like that. And like, if you can nail all those things, then maybe in some of the other areas you can maybe gain, you know, for some other aspects of your race. And then that maybe that's the best balance. 'Cause yeah, I mean, it's the cycling world, they can do some crazy things, but they have to ride their bike some, you know, 30 kilometers and it's hot and they're wearing long sleeves, but it's like, it's 30 Ks. You're going to get this done in 35 minutes. And like, you don't have to run off of it or anything like that. So, yeah, I mean, triathlon is just such an interesting puzzle with all that.
Yeah. Yeah. True. And it's always like when you think you found your perfect position, it's always like, okay, 3 months from this point, you're totally sitting completely different on a bike and think like, okay, what have I done 3 months before? So it's a crazy game.
I think like the science with it all is always evolving. Like the helmets I feel like the helmets are going through an evolution right now with the, you know, the Spaceballs helmet that we saw from the Vista squad. And then a lot of the helmets are starting to go that way. And then with water bottles and where you want to place that stuff, it's like, all of a sudden there's this evolution of where everybody's putting stuff and whereas like obviously some of them are empty. Like they're just there for aerodynamic benefit, like because nobody wants to put 5 water bottles on their bike and carry that many liters of fluid. It wouldn't make sense. But so yeah, it's very interesting like where you can do that stuff to make gains, and it's constantly changing, so it's like you gotta stay on top of it.
Yeah. So you're not planning to do some crazy stuff like we saw in Kona, like 3 bottles in the back or something, or 3 bottles in the front, like with your chest on the bottles.
Yeah, we're trying to figure out the front a little bit better. And I think I've worked out some options to kind of like get a bottle that goes between the arms, and then that actually like maybe integrates to another bottle that's a little bit further back. So that kind of stuff, it's just free speed, right? And if it makes you faster and you have to carry hydration, like there's no way around it. You can't be like, oh, I'm not going to carry fluids. That's not an option. So if you can carry fluids and get faster from that, or even just have no negative effect, right? Like if there's places you can place a bottle where it's the same net drag, and well, that's good because I need that, whereas if I put it on the down tube it's -6 watts or something. So Yeah.
Also the aero bottle. It's crazy. Like one of our engineers just told me this summer that also the aero bottles, you don't have to, or you should not put them in the frame because they're still like stealing some watts from you. So yeah, it's a really, really crazy game. And I think you're on it. I think you're always testing. Have you like a specific track or something where you test stuff?
You know, we went to the tunnel out in Germany in May. And I think we're going to try to do another round this winter where we can get in, you spend like a few days and really test, like, cause it's tough. I mean, you might have 4 hours, and in 4 hours you can only do, you know, 15 runs or something. And if you want to test 5 different cockpit positions, that's a third of it. And then if you want to test different fabrics, or you want to test different bottles, or you want to, like, all of a sudden you run out of runs real quick, or maybe you want to test 8 helmets, right? So it's like the time goes amazingly fast, because each run might take 15 minutes or whatever. So I think we want to do some of that, but I think there's also just real world benefit, like, hey, let's analyze this file from the race. What do the numbers look like? Because you can do it all in the tunnel, but when you translate it to the real world, that's like, you're like, okay, like, we did this in a race scenario. Like, it's a position I can hold. It's for, you know, 2 hours or whatever, or it's, I can utilize my very small positions for 10 minutes or whatever it is. So yeah, I think it's just trying to stay up on everything and make all the changes we can, and then periodically try to get to the tunnel and see what, you know, real data we can get.
Yeah. In the past race and the T100 Las Vegas, we saw you putting on some serious numbers on the bike. Mm-hmm. You really crushed it out there. And what has been your most memorable or challenging race so far? Not only this season, but in your triathlon career?
Yeah, I mean, there's been so many, you know, like, every race is a different story. And obviously this year, everything's so fresh in my mind. And it's been a really challenging year. So in Vegas, like, that felt so good to finally ride really, really well. And I felt like I had been moving towards that all year. It just wasn't coming out on race day. I was just dealing with some other things and it just wasn't happening. So to do it in Vegas, like, that felt great. I was having so much fun out there, just being in the race, making the moves I had to, and then battling through it all to get a top five. So yeah, that was really special. And yeah, it was just good reinforcement for all the things we're doing, both on the aerodynamic side, on the training side, and just kind of meshing it all together. Yeah.
And are there any specific things, like rituals or goals that, or even people that push you to your limits?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, just my competitors alone, you know, I know how good I have to be, like, not only in racing, but training day to day. Like, if I'm going to race these guys, I know what it's going to take. But also just my team around me, and, you know, they all have a lot of belief in me. So sometimes when I'm having a hard time or it's been rough, I can kind of lean on them, and they can pick me up and keep moving me forward. So I would say, like, just having a good team around me has been the biggest thing, because the sport's really darn hard, and there's going to be times where, you know, you're struggling and you got to have those people to lean on. So, super happy for my coaches, my wife, all my sponsors, my manager. Like, it really is, it's such a team effort. Thankful for all of them.
And is it like all of these people are also giving you balance?
Yeah, for sure. I think, especially during the hard times, it's more evident when you come home and it's been just garbage and you feel like crap, and you just realize, like, your life is no different. You have all these people around you that believe in you. There's another race. It's just, it allows you to appreciate, I guess, what you're doing, the people you have around you. And yeah, I really believe it's like, it's gotta be mind, body, soul, like all of it's gotta be really balanced to race well and get the most out of yourself and feel fulfilled with what you're doing. And for a lot of the year, it was really hard. It almost felt like my soul just wasn't there when I went out to race. And
yeah.
You know, we kind of tried to reset and had a few months without racing and just got back to enjoying things and doing it in a fun way. And, you know, I think that was reflected a lot in my race in Vegas. I just went out there, had fun, didn't really worry about anything. And, yeah, so we got it going back in the right direction. I think it was just a big lesson for me as far as like what's important, what I need to focus on, and how to get the most out of myself and also just enjoy it, you know.
We really, really, say fingers crossed for the race in Dubai that you can also show all you have, because you have it. You're the fastest runner in T100. That's so crazy. It's always so cool to see you run off the bike.
Yeah. Yeah, it's definitely been, and it's been tough. Like, you know, I had a long layoff where I couldn't run, and I know it's like, man, it's not there. But at the same time, it's like, well, you got to figure out a different way to do it. Like, you got to swim and bike at the front of the race, and hopefully my run will be another step forward from where it was in Vegas. But it's still going to take a little bit to come back. I think I won't be like to that super fast speed till next season, to be honest. But yeah, it's like, hey, let's figure out a different way to do it. That's the amazing thing about triathlon. It's like, you know, you can just spend more time on your bike, or you can try to do it in a different way and get the same result. So yeah, it's really exciting. I think it's like, we're just putting these different pieces together, and when they all come together, it's like, hopefully, you know, what I dream that it can be. It's tough. It's tough to get it all right at the same time. And that's why, it's so hard.
Of course, man. But yeah, just getting started. I think that's a good point of view. If you could draw the rest of your career starting today, ending with your absolute goal, what would it look like?
That's a good question. I don't know if I have a...
Take some time. No worries.
Yeah, I don't know that I've ever looked at one race or something and said, oh, like this is it. Like I got to try to win that. Or it's almost like what's motivating me right now and just doing that and enjoying it. And because it could be easy to say, oh, I want to just win Kona one day. But it's like, well, if I'm really enjoying what I'm doing right now, then like, there's no reason that I have to go do that, because if this makes me really happy, like that's the point. The point is to be your best and find a lot of joy and happiness in it. And right now, like this T100 thing is new, but it's really awesome. And it's so cool to have this series. And so it's like, I'm really, really excited about it, and I want to commit to it and see what I can do with it. Am I probably going to move on to the Ironman distance one day? Yeah, like I think I'm going to do that. And when I do that, it'll be okay. I'm trying to win world championships with that. But I think if you get too zoned in on one result or one race, it's not the best process. Like you have to just enjoy what you're doing, try to get better, because you can go to certain races and have a great day and feel really, really good about it. Like it was a special day and it's a lasting memory, but it might not be what people consider like the biggest accolade. I think for me, it's more about continuing to enjoy it. Looking back and feeling like I went after things, I worked hard, I got the best out of myself. You know, I had great people around me to share it with. That's the most important stuff, because you win a race, 48 hours, it's gone. Nobody cares anymore. Goes away.
True.
And it's all about the next one, right? So it can't be about results. It's got to be about something deeper than that.
Sounds like a good recipe for a long career, because earlier or back in the days, it was always like, Kona. Everybody was training their ass off for Kona. And this was the only race that mattered. But now, as triathlon got bigger and bigger over the years, and you have so many series, so many world champs, so many things to do, I think that's a cool thing to just focus on what you're actually doing and not thinking about, okay, oh yeah, now I'm in the T100, but someday I'm going to win Kona. Because it, at this moment, I totally get it. It doesn't really matter. It doesn't matter at all. So, yeah. Now we move on with the community questions. There are some fun ones. I was starting with a totally triathlon geek question. Carbs per hour in a T100 race.
Yeah. I do about 100 grams per hour on the bike. And then the run's about an hour. And I usually do between 75 and 90. So it's nothing crazy, but at about 3 hours, 15 minutes, it doesn't have to be crazy, right? And like, you don't need to be pushing 120, 140 grams, because it's Ironman distance becomes a nutritional calculation in a lot of ways. Whereas T100, it's, you know, you're just trying to keep it high enough to not bonk by the end. So, yeah.
But there's always... this tiny chance of overfueling, like we also saw in Kona. Like, but it sounds like that these 100 per hour is like, status quo, I guess, in the pro field.
Yeah, and that's the thing too, like you said, with overfueling, is in a 3 hour and 15 minute race, you might be taking a bigger risk of overfueling than underfueling, right? Yeah. Where it's, if you overfuel and your gut like seizes, and then that can have really bad result on the run. Whereas it's like, if you go on a little bit on the underside, you're probably going to be okay, because it's not like crazy long. So it's a little bit of a puzzle, right?
yeah of course, like the aero game. What is better in Boulder, go skiing, go snowboarding, or having a beer?
They're all good. You got to drive a little bit to go skiing and snowboarding, but in Boulder, there's, I don't even know how many breweries, so all good options.
All right. One question is, why Swiss side?
Why Swiss side? I was really excited about just the aerodynamic expertise, having that resource, just with the way where the sport's going, how important the bike is, how fast everybody's going, the work everybody's putting into that. And I knew I needed to surround myself with experts, because I can try to be an expert at racing triathlon, but I can't be an expert at all these different things. So why don't I, if I can try to do it, but if somebody else can do a much better job than me, then I should bring them on and let them help me. Because they know a whole lot better than I do. So, yeah, you have to surround yourself with people that you really trust. And they've helped so many people become world champions. They've been, getting all at being at the front of all that research and figuring all those things out for a long time now. So it was just really important to bring them on to my team.
Yeah, that's cool. So you can focus on your important stuff, like your race.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, you gotta let the experts in all those areas be experts in all those areas, and listen to them and trust them, and then I can focus on what I need to do and just being my best. And it's like, alone you can be good, but together you can be great, right? So it's always about the team you have around you.
Last question. We touched it a bit already. When do we see you racing a full Ironman for the first time?
I don't know. I've been thinking about it. It's definitely become more and more a thought in my mind. I might try one next year. Just like,
oh, nice. Yeah.
We'll see. It's right now, I don't know what next year is looking like yet. With the T100, or if I'm going to be doing Ironman stuff. Trying to finish out the year, the best I can. And then, it's possible that next year we'll see it. I'm definitely have some interest in it, but I have a lot of respect for the level of performance and what everybody's doing. So I know I can't just hop into this and try it because I'll get my doors blown off. So I got to put in the best training, put in the best preparation, and really show respect to, you know, the people I'm racing, to the race distance itself, all the challenges it presents, and it's a new thing. So, yeah, I think it has to be a time that fits, but potentially next year, we'll see.
All right. Pretty exciting, man. Cool. So, hey, that's a wrap. Thank you so much for your time. And thanks for starting the day, not with me, but with the drug testers and then with me. And like I said, for taking some time to answer some questions. And we wish you the best end of your season you can imagine. And I think we'll catch up soon. And have a great day of training, man.
Yeah, thanks so much. Thanks for having me. And thanks for watching, cheering me on.